I have something for you that I believe will really, really bless you today. Acts 5:12. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Are you there? The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in the area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night and opened the gates of the jail and brought them out. And then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. They sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported the jail was securely locked with the guards standing outside. But when they opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The people you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid of that the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, where the high priest confronted them. Didn't we tell you never again to teach in man's name? He demanded. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human authority. The King James says we ought to obey God rather than men. I received a commission from God. I dare not lay it down at the desire or command of men. This is not to say that we are rebellious toward those who God has put in authority, but we are to obey rules and orders that are not repugnant to the will of God. Amen. Amen. But when it comes to God's will or man's rule, we go with God. We're going with God. I'm going with God. I'm with God. I'm with God. I'm with him. I'm with God. He is number one. Praise the Lord. Many of you probably never knew the name Jenny Lind. How many you know who Jenny Lind is? Until you saw The Greatest Showman. You know? Jenny Lind was known as the Swedish Nightingale. Hold on a second. She had a very successful career as an opera singer, and she became one of the most successful artists of her time. Now, her ticket sales were priced higher than any other tickets that ever went out, and I'm sure you've seen some ticket prices these days if you've been to a concert. You know, her ticket prices were higher than Stevie Nicks, I'm sure. You know, so she's up there, Celine, you know, whatever you pay. I mean, people pay big money. People would, I mean, there were scalpers. People were trying to get in to hear Jenny Lind sing, the Swedish Nightingale. She was so famous. She was so popular, and she was just, she moved people. So, she was very rich, of course, but she gave most of her money to charity. So she would do concerts just to raise the money. And so the more she gave, the more money she got. Imagine that. I think that's a principle. She just kept getting richer and richer. And so now if you go look at her history, there's a speculation, about her. And, the most interesting thing about her is she left the stage at the height of her career. She was singing her best. She was making, her most money. You know, she spent some time with P.T. Barnum, right? They met each other. Now, there's speculation on that relationship. However, it is just speculation of how that worked out. I know if you saw The Greatest Showman, then you saw the eyes looking and everything. But all of that is speculation. And it is, there's a lot of speculation about why she would quit. But someone did know the answer. Whatever the world has will never be enough without the lover of your soul. And that's actually Jenny Lind's story. It wasn't P.T. Barnum. It wasn't a lover on earth. It was Jesus. It was actually Jesus. She gave up the applause, the fame, the money to live a private life on a home by the sea. And one day a friend found her out on the seaside, and they began to talk, and she had a Bible laying in her, on her knees, and she was looking out at the sunset. And as they talked, the friend just asked her, said, how did it come that you abandoned your career at its height? And this is what she said. She said, when every day it made me think less of this. And she pointed to her Bible. And nothing of all of that. And she pointed at the sunset. What else could I do? Isn't that beautiful? That's what she was actually about. That's actually the true story of Jenny Lind. So the song is beautiful. It means many things to many people, lovers, whatever. And that's okay. But for her, it was all about Jesus. For her, it was all about union with God. And I'll tell you, church, you love your honey. You love your mate. You love your spouse. You love them. But I tell you, a threefold cord can never be broken. A threefold cord. Amen. You know, church, the world may never understand why we've all decided to go God's way. The world just doesn't understand that, but we do understand. A decision, you know, I just think that God cannot understand a decision to pursue what the world offers. The world thinks one way, God thinks another way. And this is what I would say to you today. Be more concerned about what God thinks than about what people think about you.
Yes. Amen.
In that movie, and how many of you saw the movie? Okay, so you were probably pretty moved by that and many of the other events in the movie. But in the movie, The Greatest Showman, Rebecca Ferguson, actually, that was her. She played Jenny Lind. But she was lip-syncing, and Lauren Allred actually played that part, who was a contestant on The Voice. And just thought you might enjoy knowing about that. So, you know, that song, it brings out so much emotionally. But it just says everything Jenny Lind was actually thinking about. I had just written my notes about Jenny Lind and never thought about the movie. And then when I began to research it, I came across that and I was like, wow. Doesn't that tell the true heart of a person who loves Jesus?
Yeah.
All the stars in the sky, all the fame, all the love, all the wonderfulness of everything we know will never compare to the love of God. and what he's done for us. Amen. You're never going to be totally fulfilled without God. You will come up empty on the last day without him. You can go look at all the beautiful things you want to look at, see everything, but without recognizing he made them, he gave them, he did it. He gave you that. Fame and fortune and all the good things are never enough without the lover of your soul. Never enough. Praise the Lord. You know, the world is never enough, but when you begin to share your love with the one true God, with Jesus' life, it is so wonderful. And fame and fortune doesn't matter. However, the truth is when you start serving him, fame and fortune shows up. Fortune shows up. You say, well, I see that, but I don't really know if fame has showed up. Oh, yes, it has. You're already popular. Can I tell you, you're already popular? See, we spent this week with Pastor Brandon Holler, and he taught us something very beautiful in Ephesians 1:6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. That phrase, accepted in the beloved, is the word keratuo. And it's only one other place in the Bible. It's there where the angel spoke to Mary. And the real meaning of accepted in the beloved, or where the angel approached Mary, is, I choose you. I choose you. God is telling you, I choose you. You're popular with him. He chose you. You're accepted. You are chosen. When the announcement that came that Mary was going to, well, let's just back up. We'll talk about the fact that the prophets actually prophesied that the Messiah was going to come. The prophet called him a certain name. It was Emmanuel, God with us. Church, God wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to share life with you. He wants to be in union with you. He's Emmanuel, God with you. Just think of that. The God of the universe loves little old you, wants to hang out with little old you. Praise God. Wishing to encourage her son's, her young son's progress on the piano, there was a mom who bought tickets to see a famous piano player in concert, and they walk into the auditorium, and the little boy is just wide-eyed, and he sees this big grand piano up on the stage, and he's excited. He just has all this amazement about it. And so the mother begins to talk to a friend next to her, and she doesn't notice that the little boy slips away. And in a minute, when the lights go dim and the spotlight comes on, she sees her little boy sitting at the grand piano, and he begins to play Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And before she can grab him, the famous pianist steps out on the stage, and he puts one arm on one side of the boy and one arm on the other, and he says, don't quit, keep playing. And his left hand begins to play the bass, and his right hand begins to play a running obbligato. And together they mesmerize the audience. The old master and the young novice begin to mesmerize the crowd. Church, don't quit playing. Don't quit. God's got both arms around you. You plus God are the majority. You're the majority. Just you and God makes the majority. If nobody else was on your page, God is on your page. God is for you. He's with you. You plus God. Amen. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who could be against you? Who can be against us? He's for you, church. He's for you. Maybe today you don't feel like it. Religion might agree with you that God's mad at you. Religion might. The Bible doesn't, we don't, and God doesn't. The Bible says you have a friend that's closer than a brother. Amen. The key is to reach into that closeness. You have to participate with the closeness. He's there. He's ready. In John 15:1, it says, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. See, I told you. It says he takes away the ones who are not bearing fruit. See, I'm telling you, go look at the original. It says he lifts up the ones. It doesn't say that he takes them away. That word actually says he lifts up the ones that are not bearing fruit. It'd be kind of like he gets that certain vine or that certain branch on the peach tree and he holds it up and gets it all ready so it can produce fruit.
Wow. Wow.
Quite a difference.
Quite a difference.
It pays to study. He lifts you up. Even if you think you haven't borne a bit of fruit, he's lifting you up and you will bear fruit.
Yes. Yes.
John 15:3 says, you're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Don't change the metaphor here. Don't change it. He's saying all this and that teaching and preaching that you've been hearing is pruning you. Every week, every time you're listening to a preacher, every time you're listening to the word, you're getting clean. Every time you're taking your shower, you're taking your bath, you're getting your food. Every time you listen to the anointed word of God, you're clean. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing that makes any difference. Stay in constant contact with the parent vine. Living contact is our responsibility. That's why Jenny Lynn left and went to the beach. She wasn't gonna lose her contact with God. If career is gonna move her out, she's not gonna have it. Think how big that is. Think how big that is. World famous, wonderful. I mean, she took Europe and then she took America. But she gave it up. Because she was not going to lose God in the midst of it. I want to be like her.
Yep.
Like to be able to sing like that too, but. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into a fire that are burned. So if you're not abiding, you can wither up. You can start feeling dry. When you're not close to God, have you ever noticed that? I know when I've gotten away a little bit, I just start getting kind of dry. And I'm just looking. I'm just wanting to get back in there, you know. And you could get gathered up with the wrong group. You could go the wrong way. But if you stay in constant contact with him, he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to care for you. In fact, he's going to do everything. He does everything except make you abide. That has to be your choice. You have to choose to abide with him. Just like anyone in this room, you'll have to choose who to go to lunch with. You'll have to choose who will be your friend in here. You'll have to choose what church you go to. You'll have to choose your life. Life is choice driven. The main choice, church, is to abide in God. Continual and constant union with God. And it's not that hard. He's not really that demanding. Stay in contact with the parent vine, because the limb and the fruit can't make juice without the trunk. You're not going to make anything without the trunk. John 15:6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out, withered. That's where you would work. You would actually see some trouble, but you don't have to. You can abide. He's just telling you that, not because he's mad. He's church. He's not saying you move away from me, it's going to be bad for you. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm right here. I am. I'm everything you need if you'll just stay with me. If you abide in him first, listen to this, this verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's big. If you're abiding in him and this word is abiding in you, you can actually pray your will, which is going to be his will because you've been abiding in him, and it's going to be done. And it's not, you know, people, I was kind of raised like this. Maybe you weren't, but I was kind of raised in this thing of, I don't want to get too close to God. He might send me to Africa, which y'all would have liked. And I don't want to go. That's, no. God gives you the desire to do things. And then he gives you the desires. He makes it happen. He put desire of sire. Of the Father.
Yeah.
Of the Father. He puts those, why do you like certain things? Because God put that in your DNA to like those things. He did. You like them, you're drawn to them. And so these things will come out and work their way into your life and through your life, and it'll end up blessing other people. You have favor on your life in specific areas because God loves the people you influence.
Yeah. That's good.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you abide in me, my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Don't limit this. Why is that? Why could we do this? Is it because you've been so good and you did what the Bible said and so now you're abiding? No. That's not it. That's not the measurement here. You get what the word says because it's in you and the anointing is on you. And by close proximity, you're existing in the faith realm and in the heaven on earth realm.
Yeah.
You're in this.
Yeah.
Church, religion says God's system is, if you be good, I'll bless you. And if you don't, I'm going to smack you. That's not God's system. God's system is he loved you enough to give you Jesus who paid for all of your sins. He wants to bless you. You'll have what you want because he'll give you what you want because you're in there with him because it's what he wants. It's what he wants. How many of you just want your kids to grow up and go live in a shack and sleep on the floor? Not one person in here. Everybody's like, oh, my kids are going to do good. They're going to, yeah, right? Well, why do we want to put that on God?
Right. Oh, that's good.
He's not a slave master. He's a father. He's a father that loves you and will give you desires. Why do you like mules and I like horses? God put that in us. Amen. Why do I like dogs and you like cats? God put that dog thing in me. The devil put that. No, 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 no. It's totally a joke. Y'all don't. I look at kitty pictures and we're just playing. I like to play with Ronnie about that. But I've had a few cats in my life. Never have one again. But I'm playing. God is good. If you love cats, praise God. God gave you the desire.
Satan?
No. Whatever it is. You like outdoors. You like bowling. You like whatever. God will be in on it. You like riding motorcycles? I'm sure God likes a Harley. See, there's places. I'm going to go off course here because we need to talk about this. There's some place that you like that is your thin place. You know what a thin place is? It's where you're going to abide. You can step into that place and you feel, whew, got this. Hello, Lord. That's how you feel. It's your thin place. You can come in to, Danny notices that, when I'm working, I'll leave my desk and go outside about every couple hours. That's my thin place. I like the country. I like outside. I won't apologize for that. I like the Caribbean. That's my thin place. I like it. I like that blue water. It's a thin pool. I like all water. But you have a place like that. Maybe it's your favorite chair. Maybe it's riding a horse. Maybe it's out in New Mexico or Colorado or the mountains or wherever. But you have a place. Can I tell you that there's also a place in here like that? Even when you're just at your house, there's a thin place in here that you can go to and abide with the Lord. Amen. And he'll be right there with you. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciples. Do you see it, church? Don't just scratch the surface here. Get this next thing that I'm going to tell you. You are abiding. You can hear what the Spirit is saying. The Spirit reveals all these wonderful things God has prepared for us. Where's that scripture? 1 Corinthians 2. God has prepared all these things for the people that love Him. But you can't just get it by looking with these eyes or figuring it out with this mind. It's the Spirit that releases these things. So you have to abide with the Spirit to be able to pick up what God has for you. Well, I don't get the connection between the Spirit and a mule. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The Spirit realm made everything you're looking at and sitting on. And you. It's all connected. But without getting it in the Spirit, you can't manifest it in the natural. Abiding will help you bring forth the fruit. I'm going to say it another way here. You'll ask what you will shall be done unto you. What do we know about this? You ask what you will, your will. His will became your will. You ask, you prayed, and the prayer produced the fruit. The fruit of answered prayer. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Okay? Walk with me. Stay alert. Okay. Now, the best kind of prayers are what? Answered prayers. I mean, that's easy. The best kind of prayer is an answered prayer. Now, look at verse 11 there, John 15:11. It says, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So if you're abiding in him when you pray, and if his word is in your heart when you pray, it shall be done unto you. I'm being redundant on purpose, okay? So, then he says that the Father would be glorified if you produce much fruit. What fruit? Answered prayer.
Right.
Answered prayer, you're going to have what you say. Answered prayer, you're abiding in him. Why? Church, you ought to know this better than anybody, than any other group of people, that it's all about you speaking things. And if you're abiding in him, you're going to be speaking what he says. And it's going to what? Manifest, because whatever God says happens. Get an idea what Jesus is saying. This is what he's saying. Between the prayer and the joy, I, Jesus, abode in the Father. And I only said what he said to say. Now you abide in me and only say, what I tell you to say, you're going to have it. And you're going to have my love. See, Jesus, when he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, he got a download. He wasn't going around saying, well, I think I'll have to check on that and pray about it. He just listened to the Spirit of God and then spoke. He wasn't having speculation. He wasn't just using his soulish imagination. He was listening, what's God saying? What word should I use right here? Did you hear Deb psalming, prophesying in a psalm today about Jeremiah? I have a plan for you. That opened a place, a path for everyone in this room today. Some people actually heard that in their spirit and went, all right, God's got a plan. I'm about to step into something. Some people just heard it thunder. Passed it on by, didn't pay a bit of attention to that psalm that came out. I did. I went, there it is right there. There it is. He is speaking to me right now. He's telling me there's a plan coming up. I hope somebody besides me picked that up today. Because that psalm, well, I've already blown your minds with everything else. I'll just tell you, it popped a quiff today. Y'all know what that means? In the subatomic world, she got ahead. She spoke ahead of what's going to happen. Yeah. Some of you are like, oh my God, what is she talking about? Church, everything's vibrating. This is all God's will. Everything was made here by God in a frequency. It's vibrating, and I am in no way New Age. They stole that from us. We know that when God created, he made everything, and you could speak to it and change it. The scientists finally caught up with us, and they understand that those waves will obey the observer. It's true. That's what faith is. Faith is the substance of the picture you're getting. You get a picture, and then you say it, and it begins to manifest. It'll start coming to you. Well, I'm way off here. Let's see if we can ride back up the trail here. Okay. Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate that. So this is what Jesus did, so this is what we can do. We abide. We love God. Oh, I just don't know how. I just don't know how. Yes, you do know how. How do you abide with me? You talk to me. Yeah. We have fun together. We sing together. We work together. We say things to each other and listen for a reply. We say thank you to each other. We say I love you to each other. We do all those things. Abide with God. Lord, I just love you. What do you think about that? When I was out there just watering my beauties and that hummingbird came up there and he started darting into that water and I was like, hold on. And I put it on a mist so it'd be easier. He waited. I put it on the mist and I'm doing like this and he's taking it. And who am I talking to? I was like, Lord, look at this. Look at him. The Lord loved it. I can walk up to the mailbox and walk back and go, Lord, look at this. We have mountains in Texas, sort of. And just look at the scenery. You can talk to him about anything. And it doesn't always have to be, now here's my list. And I think it's kind of foolish to do all the talking when the smartest one in the universe is right there with you. It would be good to do some listening. I was watching Jesse Duplantis early this morning, and a 10-year-old wrote in and said, Jesse, I really love you, and I can't hear God. I need to know how to hear him. Tell me how to hear God. And Jesse said, it was a girl. I think her name was Mary, I think. And he said, now, Mary, this is what you do. You go sit down somewhere, and you say what you want to God, and then stop and be quiet, and you'll hear him. It was that simple. And if anybody knows how to talk to Jesus, it's Jesse. Praise the Lord. Are y'all here? So you abide in me and only say what I tell you to say, then you are in my love. That's what Jesus says. You're in my love. And in my love, you will produce the fruit of answered prayer. Thus, we can see significance of abiding in the vine. It's important. The vine is empowering you to command, to receive, and then the Father's joy is full, and then your joy is full. Aren't you blessed when he's thrilled? Don't you know he was thrilled when I heard him and say, truck guy, where's the truck guy? The Lord is probably going, ha ha, we got him now. Praise the Lord, right? What about the lady who made her way to that place in such pain, and now she's free? God is thrilled about that. He does not want you in pain. He doesn't want you broken. I know there's a doctrine about that. We all need to be broken. I think we've been broke enough. I think we need to be healed. I know what they're trying to say, church. They're trying to say, get self out of the center. I agree with that. Right. I agree with that 100%. But I don't think the word broken is a good place for that. And it's probably from the place I come from. Yeah. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy so other people around you can enjoy life. He wants you to be a magnet that pulls them in. Produce some fruit. Somebody needs to come and eat it. Somebody needs to come and partake. Somebody will come and partake if you're producing fruit. Okay, Lord. Gotcha. If you abide in me, if you stay in constant union with me, you will abide or stay in constant union with love.
Oh, that's good.
Now, and, you know, he goes on to say that we should love each other as he's loved us, right?
Yeah.
Well, how did he love us? He laid down his life.
Yeah.
So if you're in constant union with him, it won't be hard to love others, and it won't be hard to get your prayers answered. Those two things. In constant union with God, it won't be hard to get those prayers answered, but it won't be hard at all to love people. It won't be hard to go to the restaurant you don't like with that person.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going today. We don't like that. Well, what about the people you're going with? It won't be hard for you to go with the person you love. You might just go somewhere where they like instead of where you like. You might go to the vacation they want to go to instead of what you go to. It doesn't always have to go your way when that love's abiding in you. You get joy watching other people get to be blessed where they want to be blessed. Do you? Or is it just all about you? Well, I didn't lose anything over there. I'm not going over there. What about the people you love? What if they want to go? What if Kevin wants to go to South Africa and Liz didn't? Well, but they both do. But what if, what? Love.
That's right.
Love. Man, I just hit somebody. Reminds me of this old guy I heard one time. We were in this specific place. I won't tell you where it was, but there were a lot of people with this man, and his name was Jim. And Jim stood up from the table. We were all there. It was a place where everybody gathered. Jim stood up from the table and said, "Jim's leaving. Anybody going with Jim? Better get up now." I probably was 20-something years old when I heard that. And it just cut me to see someone be so selfish and rude on that day. And I thought, man, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to live like that. I don't want to be that person who it always has to be, you either go where I want to go or we're not going. You're either going to eat what I want to eat or we're not eating. We don't want to do that. You know, we have this thing. Where are we going to eat? 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 Well, the staff and the friends around me are always going to acquiesce to me, right? Because, you know, respect and honor. But I'm not going to do that. I put it back on them. No, let's go where you want to go. I mean, get a hold of, I'm not just going to say, oh, we'll be going where I want to go, Danny. So, no, get over that. Now, how are you going to get over that? Well, you can either fight that with your flesh or you can abide in God and it'll come easy to you. Because you're not going to conquer it with your flesh, because in your flesh, you are going to say, I'm not going there today. I do not like that. But when you love people, you'll go eat the salad and then pick up your Chick-fil-A later or whatever. Right? It's not that hard. Today's Father's Day. It'd be a good idea that you go where Dad wants to go today. Right? They're looking. Do you see, hear that? Go where Dad wants to go today. Are you getting this today?
Yes.
But see, it's not going to be hard. None of this is hard if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Now, if you're abiding, it will be easy to say yes. Okay, Lord, if you do go where they want to go, no pouting at the table.
Good. Okay.
We came. I hate this place, but it's your day.
Make them pay.
Deb said, yeah, make them pay. Isn't that true? And you know, husbands look straight ahead, but wives have done that, the very thing to you. What's wrong, honey? Nothing. Nothing. And you know, the whole way you're going somewhere, she does not want to go, but she said, yes, I'll go. And the whole time, you know, no. Just, I'll go for you because I love you. With a good attitude. It's not the last time you're going to get to go eat at Chick-fil-A or wherever, the Lord's Chicken, which some of you are coughing up right now because of what's going on. But, you know, it was just a picture. Don't eat there if you don't like it, okay? Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. It's the love. When you abide, the love will get in you. And it's not fake.
Right.
It's real. It's not religious. It's real.
Yeah.
It's the real thing. If you're in constant union with Him, it won't be hard to love. It won't be hard to get your prayers answered. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it will be done. Because you're abiding in love, you're not going to say, they made me mad. Kill them, Jesus. I hope they fall. No. No. You know the one that's been falling a lot? Falling down?
Yeah.
In America? I hope he doesn't fall again.
Yeah.
That's not right. I know it's a big joke, but he's a person. He's a person that God loves.
Yeah.
He may not know it, and he may not even care, but God loves him. And it's degrading and embarrassing, and it's embarrassing for America. God loves him. I pray God lifts him up and the light comes on.
Yes.
Jesus' name. Yes, I pray for justice. I pray for justice. I pray for justice for 45 today.
Yes.
Even though people appear to be our enemy, God loves them. Jesus said, pray for your enemy. How are you going to do that? Abide. Abide. Abide and something else will come out. Something else will come out instead of, I hate her. You start thinking like that, you better go back and see if you're abiding. Here's the greatest thing. God your Father is your friend. He's your friend. Enjoy his company while he favors you and brings you into great success because he wants to. And I will say this to you. If anything I said to you cut you and upset you and made you think you need to repent, then do it.
Right.
And step into abiding so you can step into love. That's all. We all need to do it. And you can't just do it one time. But right now you're clean because the word has been spoken over you. And you're all right. And God loves you. And church, he will always and forever be enough. Let's stand up. Always and forever be enough. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're always enough. You are always enough. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're a good father, and you have no shadow of turning. You give good and perfect gifts. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your correction. We thank you for your direction. But we know you will not beat us or harm us or make us put us in prison. We know that you will not tear us up in any way or put sickness or disease on us. You freed us from all bondage, and we're grateful for that. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you, and we give you glory. You are more than enough. That heart cry that you heard in that singer today, that would have been something like what Jenny Lynn felt about God. That heart cry, it doesn't have to be painful. He's there. He's there. He's here for you. He's here. You're not living without the lover of your soul. Isn't it good to know that tonight when you go home, he'll be there? It's the same with Jesus. He'll be there. He'll be there. He'll be there every day and every night. And even if you had a spat, Jesus would still be there. You want me to tell you a good secret to your relationship? It's real easy. If things get a little rocky during the day, the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So just walk up to the one you love and say, sun going down. Sun going down, and everybody get happy. I learned that from Jesse and Kathy. He'd just say, Kathy, sun going down. Okay. Sun going down. Don't let it go down. Just dump it. Get rid of it. With everyone.
Yes.
Don't go to bed stewing that pastor hurt your feelings. Sun going down. Oh, it's okay. I forgive her.
Yeah.
Oh, my husband. Sun going down. Forgive the man. Get rid of the touch foul. Amen. Oh, the so-and-so. Well, I can't believe she spoke to me like that. Sun going down. Get it out of your mind. Throw it away.
There you go. Throw it away.
Well, you don't know how I was raised. Sun went down a long time ago. That's not you. It has nothing to do with you. You've passed all the way through that. Do not look back. The windshield's much bigger than the rearview mirror. I don't care who was your daddy, who was your mama, who did what. Do not let someone who abused you 50 years ago control your life today. It's over. Be like Joyce Meyer. If she did it, how did she do it? Abiding.
Yeah.
Abiding.
Yeah.
She was abiding with God. She forgave her own father.
Mm-hmm.
And went on.
Yeah.
She didn't have to hang around with him every day. She just forgave him and went on.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something right now that Mike Murdoch taught me. And I hope you'll take it the right way. He said, always forgive, but that doesn't mean you have to forget. Now, a lot of people teach forgive and forget, forgive and forget. I'm talking about you forgive, but you always keep in line to make sure that you don't fall back into the thing again. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about not taking care of, you're clear with the person, but you watch out. This is what country folk would say. You bite me once, it's your fault. You bite me twice, it's mine. You watch out that you don't fall back into the same ditch. See, that'll help you. Because people are like, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to forgive because if I do, what if it happens? No, you forgive, but you watch your life from there. And you plan how you, what circles people get in your life. You have some people that are real close to you. That's good. There may be a few people that have to move back a couple of circles. Yeah, because not everybody can be right up front with you.
Right.
It's damaging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you go over to them and say, now, you used to be in circle number one, but I've moved you out to five. What?
Well, I'm only rings out.
You're three rings out now, she said. Just be wise. Don't be dumb. Just don't say anything. Just bless you. Oh, we're busy. Sorry. You can still love people and not tell them your personal business. You can still love them without casting your pearls. Casting your pearls before the swine. You know what that means? It means don't give your pretty necklace to pigs. Don't give them your heart treasures. Don't share your heart treasures with people that'll stomp on you. That's all it means. You'll know who will and who won't. I hope that helps somebody. I have a little second class here as we go. Praise the Lord. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And he's enough. You won't ever have to have the pain of it'll never be enough because he's with you. Amen.